fire.
I know. You know what's funny is, like, there's a part of me that wants to bring up what we were talking about just a second ago, but that's not a good idea.
Let's leave that. Let's leave that where it is.
Yeah, let's just leave that. Okay.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, everyone.
Or morning, or welcome. Whenever you're listening to this.
Wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Welcome to our podcast. I would tell you the name of the podcast, but we haven't figured that out yet.
Deep debates.
I know.
No debate at all, actually. We haven't even came with queries about it.
I know, no debate. That would be funny considering I think we agree on most everything right now. I am Daniel, and this is our podcast, and this is my boy Banks.
Alexander the Great Banks, baby. All right, I'm done.
I feel like you're going to keep doing that, and it's going to end up being.
Look, it's going to catch on. I'm going to walk down the street, and people are like, oh, that's the Great Banks right there. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, God. Hey. Today we're going to be talking about Roe v. Wade. It is the bombshell overturning case that everyone's talking about that's going to affect millions upon millions of millions of people. And so we want to talk about it as men, as people who have folks in our lives who are going to be affected by it. And I mean, really, that's what we feel like we need to be talking about today. So, there's a couple different perspectives that we're going to share on this, but I'm going to kind of come at it from the legal perspective and kind of come from the actual court opinions of the justices. And that's kind of where I'm going to come from it. But I'm going to start with Banks and just kind of get your thoughts, Banks, of what was going through your mind when you heard that Roe v. Wade was overturned?
Well, first of all, my initial thought was, oh, shit. This is going to be a fucking shit show. Sorry, can I cuss? Yes, I can. Yeah. It's going to be a shit show. And then I thought about it. There's a book, Freakonomics, right, that came out years ago. Mm-hmm. I think I read it in, like, high school or something like that. When Roe v. Wade was initially put in place, 20 years later, you saw a decrease in crime. And this is coming from the book. You would saw a decrease in crime because, you know, the people that were struggling and people that didn't want to raise children were having them and then, you know, not raising them properly. And then they were going out and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, right? So you talk about a massive decrease in crime. And then I was like, okay, well, 20 years from now, when our kids are older or my kids are older, you know, you're going to see the effects, the long-term effects of this. Right now, you know, you got a lot of pro-lifers that are like, oh man, yes, we won and stuff. But I mean, did you really win? Is the real question. Is this a win for our world? You know, you're talking about 4,000 abortions a day, right? And then you're increasing that, you're increasing the population by 4,000 a day. So imagine years from now, 20, 30 years from now, where, you know, the population is so vast that it's going to be harder to get goods and services. It's going to be harder to get this.
But one thing I'll add is that I do think that those folks think this is a victory. You know what I mean? Like, I do actually think that they feel that way. I think they feel like this is a victory. And so, like, I don't think they're thinking about that in the long term. I don't think they care about that at all. For those who don't know, Roe v. Wade was overturned through a different case, which is Dobbs v. Jackson. It's Dobbs, state health officer of the Mississippi Department of Health, versus Jackson's Jackson, Mississippi Women's Health Organization. That's the court case that was brought before the Supreme Court. And the main thing that the Supreme Court was deciding in this was whether the viability concept, having that line between when it's okay to get an abortion, when it's not an abortion, when it's not okay to get an abortion, whether that line was acceptable. The one thing I think is worth mentioning about Dobbs v. Jackson is that the Mississippi Gestational Age Act that is the center point of the case did not even make exceptions for people to like get abortions for the reason of rape or incest. It was only except in a medical emergency or in the case of a severe fetal abnormality, a person shall not intentionally or knowingly perform or induce an abortion of an unknown unborn human being if the probable gestational period of the unborn human being has been determined to be greater than 15 weeks. So they're not even making exception for like rape or incest. They're just saying, okay, these are the only exceptions. And beyond that, you have to have the baby. And the Supreme Court held that the Constitution does not confer a right to abortion, that Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the two cases that uphold abortion, are overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and their elected officials, which is a joke. But I'll get to that point. Yeah, well, like there's so many. Okay, so I read almost all of the Supreme Court's decision. I read the concurring opinions by all the justices who supported it. That includes Alito. That includes Kavanaugh. Clarence Thomas wrote his own opinion, which is just absolutely frightening and ridiculous in its own respect. Kavanaugh's is full of logical holes. I didn't read John Roberts because I cannot stand John Roberts as any sort of legal. Well,
Kavanaugh's brain is full of a lot of holes. So
yeah, and
maybe the booze.
And Kavanaugh's reasoning, if you only read his opinion as to the fact that he thinks that the Supreme Court is now making itself neutral when it comes to abortion, that reasoning sounds like it might make sense until you read the dissenting opinion from Kagan, Sotomayor, and Breyer, and they just absolutely scorch Kavanaugh. They scorch, in my opinion, they just crush the concurring opinion, and I think they poke so many holes in it that it's a bit of a joke that the Supreme Court actually felt comfortable writing the things that they're writing, because the only way that their opinions hold, like, for example, one of the things that they talk about is that allowing Roe v. Wade to stand, they think it doesn't hold in a lot of legal ways, right? I'm trying to keep it really simple. But one of the points that they make is they say that this kept it from the people being able to like make a decision when it comes to laws, because the Supreme Court had made it like legal, made it allowed up to the point of viability. And so their argument is, oh, well, now the people can make a decision again. You could take it to your state elected officials. But the problem is that's not the case. No. If anything, it was actually already set up where if you wanted to get an abortion, you could get one, provided it fit within the guidelines. And now, if you want to get one, it doesn't matter. It all depends on what state you live in.
But even that, right now, if you're living in that state, I mean, some people can't go out of state to get one. They're trying to prosecute people that are helping people go out of state to get one, which is even more bonkers.
Yeah, it's going to get worse because, first of all, like I remember with the Texas law went into effect a couple months ago, people were like, okay, well, they're going to go to Oklahoma. And so the numbers as far as going to Oklahoma were absolutely crazy. But then Oklahoma passed the law. So it's like, okay, now I'm a whole state away from where I can go. So what's going to happen is like over 20 states are going already had laws passed, trigger laws, zombie laws, where now those go into effect. So if you live in the heartland, you're going to have to fly to like California or New York to even consider having a procedure. Also, That's for the time being. We haven't even gotten to these states that might say, well, actually, we're going to pass a law that makes it where if you try to like travel to these other states, that's illegal too. If anyone helps you in a different state, that's illegal too. So all of this, like there's so many problems with what the Supreme Court argued. But one of the things that it argues is what they miss is that they have just gutted the rights of people, like human beings. Like people say the rights of women, but it's not that we shouldn't refer to them as women. It's the fact that we're forgetting human that these beings. Are human beings. These are American citizens, people who deserve to be treated with dignity and respect by virtue of their humanity.
Right.
Right. And they don't even have that. Like, and the people who are making these decisions, most of them are not women.
Sorry, it's the truth. And then when you think about the 6-3 vote, when you think about that, it's even more frustrating because, you know, nobody has a say. Like, they didn't have a say. They didn't talk to the actual people that they're trying to protect. They're just saying, hey, we're just going to do this because we want to.
Well, you know, what's crazy about that is the fact that the decision could be 6-3 with the justices that made the decision is really a shame in the fact that the United States should be ashamed of this. Because three of those justices were appointed by a president who was impeached twice.
Moron.
And impeached. Yeah. But also impeached in part because he was supporting an insurrection of the United States because he didn't get the votes he wanted. Like today we're recording this on Tuesday, June 28th. And so the January 6th hearing, there was another one today. And one of the things, and I just happened to click it on while I was working, and one, I can't remember the girl's name. But she testified that one of the issues was that he desperately wanted to be like, he didn't see a problem with people having weapons. He didn't like Pence and he wanted to be there at the Capitol. He wanted to be involved and he got upset with the Secret Service to the point where he put hands on.
And then he tried to take the steering wheel as well.
tried to take the steering wheel, threw food on the like walls. Like, and this country let his justices stand. By the way, one of them was taken, like two of those justices were taken. One of them was supposed to be Obama's with right. Merrick Garland. And then Justice Barrett was in a lame duck, which is the same amount of time that they said Obama shouldn't be able to make a pick. And Justice Barrett has some of the lowest qualifications I've ever seen in a Supreme Court justice, like the among the least qualified we've ever had on the bench. And those three folks, okay, all of them made the decisions that swung this. All three of them. And so it's just I'm going to save that part because that deserves its own discussion. Well, there's something else that the court said that is just absolutely ridiculous. But like these justices made this decision. And if you go on social media right now, you're going to hear a lot of people who are upset, a lot of people who are heartbroken, a lot of people who are furious. And I'm not like I'm upset, too. Like I'm livid at this. But I also look at it and it's not that I'm fatalist. I just don't think there's anything we could do about this ruling.
No.
Like, no, the way the Supreme Court set it up, not only did they say it should go to the people and their elected officials, but their opinion is worded so that they think this is their final say on it. They don't seem to be interested in revisiting this topic again. It's like they said, okay, we're going to dismantle Roe v. Wade. And that's another thing. All of these Supreme Court justices did what common folks do, and they lied at their job interviews.
I mean, flat out.
And if they didn't lie, they creatively walked around the question of whether they were overturn Roe. They all creatively walked around it.
No,
if they didn't
lied.
Lie. But I believe that is more. Well, Yeah, I think that's most likely the case. And the reason for that is when you read their opinion, they don't say, like, nothing fundamentally changed on Roe or Casey,
right?
Okay, or abortion. And, but they say that there were long-standing issues with Roe and Casey, okay? And then they say that it was causing all these other issues when it comes to other cases that were connected to it, which the dissenting opinions of Kagan, Sotomayor, and Breyer, they're like, actually, that's not true. So there was nothing cataclysmic or significant to cause them to need to make this change. And then they just made it. They just decided it. And then they're just kind of like going behind their ivory tower. And they're going to be like, well, we did that. Now it goes to the states, which is not like it's not what they think. So now there's all these folks who are heartbroken, upset, bitter, angry, and justifiably so. Okay. But also it's like, I don't see this court case going away for the next 50 years.
Yeah. And part of it too. And none of them are mad at the people that they should be mad at.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Because, okay. Let me just say this. Cause I'm about to say something that's going to upset people,
but I already know.
Yes, it will.
Going with it.
So
proceed.
You do.
Sir.
Okay, good. Proceed. When it comes to apportioning blame, the majority goes onto the far right extremists who call themselves Republicans. Okay. Because these are not normal Republicans. These are not the Republicans of 20 years ago. Like I've said it before, I will say it again. The Republican Party is a husk of what it used to be. It has been inhabited and taken over by far right extremists. Like they're Christo fascists. Yeah. They worship the economy. They worship their version of Jesus. Okay. Theirs, who's white and carries an AK-47 and they embrace fascism. Okay. You don't have to believe me on that. Just look at what they did on January 6th. Look at what they've been doing for the past several years. Look at the Supreme Court ruling.
Since you brought now, it up real quick, I just want to put this out there. Right. I had a guy tell me, oh, they're trying to take our guns away, right? It's an assault rifle. Oh, they're trying to take our guns away. Yeah, okay. And then I saw the same guy post yay to Roe v. Wade online. And I'm like, what? they're taking your rights away. However, you're cool with them taking a woman's uterus rights away.
Yep. And men like him, this is great for them.
Sorry. little fella.
This is great for them until they are with a person who needs an abortion or wants an abortion. And I say it in that order because there are people who have ectopic pregnancies or medical conditions where the only solution is an abortion. Now those folks, depending on what state they're in, might not be able to get the care they need. Because even the Supreme Court recognizes that abortion is a health and safety issue.
It is.
They say it in their ruling, but they ignore the value of that as they continue to speak. So those guys are going to be fine and cheer this until they feel the consequences of it. Because a lot of these folks who feel this way, like I've had conversations my entire life with these folks. And when I have a conversation with these folks about abortion, you can tell that all they have done is regurgitate talking points. Like,
well, they're like, repeating, for example, Republicans leaders because they don't have
exactly
of they, their own to think that, about stuff and research stuff, which I mean, most smart intellectual human beings will actually take the time to actually research shit before they start repeating shit. So
right, because one of the points I've made many times to people is that I am not one who actually like loves abortion. I'm not one who's like, yay, this is great. I'm more of one who recognizes that it's none of my business what other people do. And if somebody feels like they need one or somebody wants one, that's none of my business. Because what they do with their bodies doesn't like hurt me. And I should not be making decisions that don't affect me but hurt them. But the point I've always made is I've said, hey, look, we have a proven way to decrease abortions. We have a proven way to decrease teenage pregnancies. We have a proven way to decrease sexually transmitted infections. And that proven way, okay, is abundant access to contraception, which is coming up next from the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's
That's coming. And when I say that's coming, I mean they're going to look at that one too, because Clarence Thomas specifically mentioned that case. And then also comprehensive sexual education. Those two things are proven in the United States to decrease abortions, teenage pregnancies, sexually transmitted infections. All that comes down to is empowering people, particularly women, to make the best decisions for themselves. Those are proven. These folks who support like anti-abortion acts, I do not believe that they actually want to decrease abortions. And I will argue with anyone who wants to argue with me about this. I don't believe they actually want to decrease abortions. I believe that they want to punish anyone who wants to get an abortion. That includes the men who help. That includes other people who help. That includes trans men. That includes anyone who can get pregnant and wants to get an abortion. They want to punish them. It is not, as everyone has been saying, at least on my timeline, it's about control. It is not actually about decreasing abortion. Because, and this is why your guns point that you made is so interesting. Because when there's a mass shooting, or somebody does something terrible with a gun, and people say, hey, you know what? It'd be a really good idea if we regulated these. What do you normally hear from those folks?
They're trying to take my rights away.
They're trying to take my guns. But they also say, well, just because you pass a law on something doesn't mean people are going to stop doing it.
Get that one a lot.
Okay. Yeah, you get that one a lot. So their argument is that just because there's a law on the books doesn't mean it's going to change behavior. Well, if that's the logic, why are you pushing for anti-abortion laws? I thought that laws didn't stop people from doing things. People will say things like, well, there's a speed limit right there. People still breeze by the speed limit. Okay, so then why do you want to pass these anti-abortion laws?
Right.
Because it's about control. It's about deciding what other people can do with their bodies. If it were actually about decreasing abortions, then we would just support comprehensive sexual education and abundant access to contraception. And then we would give people the tools and the education they need to make the best decisions for their bodies. But that's not what this is about. And there's going
controlling women's bodies and people that are not old white men. Let me just put that out there. You're going to be mad at me for saying it.
Yes.
But it really is a bunch of old white guys making decisions for everybody involved.
Yes, it is. Yes. And I believe my opinion. Okay. And I will fully acknowledge this is an opinion I'm still developing. I'm still researching and reading about, but my opinion is that this also has a national policy perspective, or part to it, which is I think the United States is worried about not having enough babies compared to other parts of the world. And I think the United States government is fine with this. And when I say the government, I mean intelligence agencies. I mean people behind the shadows who actually like dictate how the government works, not the people you think you know. I think those folks say, you know what? We need to have more kids. We need more workers. We need more consumers. So this would be in our nation's best interest. And to your point about history and about these being old white men, one of the points that the Supreme Court makes, which I think is one of the most corrosive and ridiculous points they make in their entire opinion, is they talk about whether this right to have an abortion is rooted in the nation's history and tradition, and whether it's an essential component of ordered liberty. They say that this right is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition. Now, I think all of us who have read, books can all acknowledge how ridiculous that point is, because I don't know, they're referencing a time when women were not considered equal people. Like, in our lifetimes, women got the right to be able to get a credit card without a man's permission or a man on it, like a husband. And in our lifetimes.
In our lifetimes. I get to come home and kiss my wife.
In our lifetimes. Yeah, exactly. In your lifetime, you are able to do that. And so for them to have this strict constructionist, I would argue, ridiculous perspective, which that's not just my opinion calling it ridiculous. The dissenting opinions of the other three justices said it was ridiculous. Because by that logic, there's a lot of things that we'd go back and go, well, what's the history of tradition of black people having rights? What's the history of tradition of women being able to vote? What's the history of tradition of a number of things? And so the idea that we're going to use history and tradition when most of the people making the decisions were older, white, Christian, straight, property-owning men, that is absolutely nuts. I just want to add one quick thing before I forget. Because I was going to mention this, and I was giving my disclaimer that I do recognize that Republicans deserve most of the blame for this. But I think it's worth mentioning to people, Obama promised he was going to codify Roe v. Wade. And he did not do it. And he said it. And when they asked him why, he said it was not, quote, a legislative priority. Okay. Joe Biden promised he was going to codify Roe v. Wade. It's in the tweets. You can find the tweets. And now he's saying, well, we need your state and local representatives to do it. I don't know where that accent came from.
That was a horrible accent, but I appreciated it.
I wasn't trying to impersonate him, but I just yeah.
It worked.
So he didn't do it. And I think it's worth mentioning this because Democrats are going to use this as a fundraising thing because that seems to be all most Democrats are good for. And by the way, you could tell I don't like the Democratic Party. I don't like the Republican Party. I like some people in the Democratic Party, but not many. They like to fundraise off of these issues, but they don't like actually doing anything about it. And to hear Susan Collins and Joe Manchin say, we actually believed Gorsuch and the others when they told us they wouldn't do this, it's an absolute joke. And the reason why this is worth mentioning is because these incompetent people are in positions of power and decision making, and their incompetence is going to lead to blood on people's hands. Like, people are going to die because of these six Supreme Court justices. Right. People are going to die because of these incompetent Democrats who will not do what they need to do when they have the power and the opportunity. And I wish I could say people are going to die because of the Republicans, but the Republicans don't care.
Zero F's giving.
They do not care. So I don't know how to hold them accountable for anything when they have made it clear that they do not care about anything but their agenda. All they care about is
right.
power.
And that's one of the things too, right? You think about the way that the Republican Party is shaped, right? They were gung-ho about overturning this decision. And you think about it, they don't want to put any financial assistance to parents, no welfare, anything like that. They want to take away that. If it's about the babies,
yep.
Then you want to feed them, you want to clothe them, you want to make sure that they're financially stable at home. So it's not about the babies for that. Just to your point earlier, control.
Yep.
Once they get to a certain age, you don't want to pay for education. Parents are paying for childcare, daycare, whatever. They don't want to give tax credits for that. They don't want to give any type of credit for anything to take care of these children. So now you have children that are born into the world without a choice, honestly. And then you have people that they support them giving birth, but they don't want to support them after it. They don't want to take care of any part of their education. They don't want to build their knowledge base. They don't want to do anything to help these people. They just want you to have a baby and that's it. Like, oh, okay.
That's right.
Can I get some financial assistance? Can I get some welfare? Can I get some WIC? Can I get some whatever's out there that parents are trying to feed the babies that they have now? They don't have that option of the Republican Party is trying to get rid of that option to even have later. So, I mean, this is not benefiting anybody. This is not a win for a society that doesn't want you to succeed as a parent, but they want you to have a baby.
Well, it is a win for the top of the pyramid. It is a win for the rich and the powerful, because the rich and the powerful are still going to get abortions.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the rich and powerful are just, if they need to move to a state that allows them to travel and do whatever they want, they'll move to that state. But beyond that, they're going to do whatever they want. And that's why the ideology of the far right is so dangerous, because it is an extreme individualism. It is this ideology that says everything is reducible to the individual. There's no systemic issues. There's none of that. So if something goes well, you deserve the credit. And if things don't go well, it's all your fault. So because we saw that during the pandemic, when we needed people to think in community terms and collective terms, these folks were like, nope, I don't want to wear a mask. I don't care if it makes you sick at all. I don't care. All I care about is that I don't want to wear a mask. You know, so with this ruling, they're going to just put it back in people's back in the hands of the states, and which assumes, and this is part of why the Supreme Court is ridiculous, they assume that everybody can vote equally in every state.
They do.
And the fact that
I'm still laughing. Hold on. Let me get this out.
Yeah.
All right. It's out. Yeah. It's good. You're good.
because this is beyond the scope of this conversation, but if we really wanted to do a deep dive, we could talk about why it's, of all cases that went to the Supreme Court to overturn Roe, it was a case involving Mississippi, a state with a significant black population. That is not an accident. Oh, no. Like this push in Texas, a state full of black people, full of Hispanic folks, that's not an accident either. But that's a conversation for a different time. So all of this going on, total disregard for people. And so if you can't get to a state that allows you to do it or you don't move, they're going to blame you. They're going to blame you and say, well, if you just work harder, if you didn't just have sex, if you didn't do this, if you didn't that, then this wouldn't happen. Meanwhile, if something happens with their daughters, their wives, their mistresses, their sisters, whatever, then they're going to just quietly do it. Yeah. They're going to vocally attack other folks, and then they're going to quietly go and do what they do.
And to add more to your point, while all this is going on, they don't want to teach sex ed in school. Nope. So you get no education about it either.
Nope.
So you're like, all right, you're not educated on sexual issues. So you're going to go out there and experience it for yourself, get knocked up, forced to have a baby, and then who knows?
Or if you just do what the Christo-fascists want you to do, as we move more toward the Handmaid's Tale society. Okay. And by the way, it's worth noting that when people mention Handmaid's Tale, it's worth mentioning, because I read the book in high school. I love the book. It's one of my favorite books. It's worth mentioning that the reason why white women are centered in Handmaid's Tale is because the black and brown women were already killed.
Already gone.
They were already gone. So we just have the white women left, which means that we're moving toward a society where white women are going to see how everyone else has been feeling. And that's not good. But that's also what's going to happen, because this kind of stuff has been done to black and brown women for a long time. That's why when you say, okay, what do I do? What do we do next? You go find those organizations that have been doing this a long time, and the ones that have been doing it for a long time and know what they're doing and know how to maneuver stuff, typically led by Black and brown people. I do think it's worth mentioning here that I don't want to say this is all men's fault, because I feel like that's a bit too broad of a statement to make. But I do think it's worth mentioning, men, this is on us. The majority of us are on the side that ruled to throw away Roe v. Wade. Okay. And it's not lost on me that Kavanaugh had sexual assault allegations, that Clarence Thomas has sexual assault allegations.
Sorry. So we'll just throw it out there.
You know what? That's a deep cut. that's a deep cut. I was like, oh, Diet Coke. And then it hit me.
Sorry, I had to get that out.
So that's a Clarence Thomas reference.
sorry.
It is. And that the president who appointed three of the justices, he himself has sexual assault allegations. And that you have all of these men who not, because when I say men, this is on us, this is what I mean. Number one, too many of us don't understand how this hurts women and people who could get pregnant. And we don't have this empathy bridge between ourselves and them to understand how this hurts people. We are thinking too limited when we say, well, I guess if you don't want to get pregnant, then you just don't need to have sex. Are we just going to ignore coercion? Yes, they're going to ignore coercion because they don't understand it. They're going to ignore that a woman should be able to say no and not worry about her physical well-being, which women have to do all the time. I found a Facebook post.
Just put that out there.
Yes. But the issue, but what men don't have to deal with the opposite gender who has a 33% strength advantage. That's one of the core problems. Like, what men go through should not be ignored, but men can't get pregnant. And so in this issue, like, there is too much we don't understand as men, and I would argue we don't really care to understand, that makes us just in terrible straits right now when it comes to this issue. Because not only do we not understand why this bothers so many women and people who could get pregnant, but we don't understand how this is going to hurt us. What are you going to do when you are with someone who wants to have an abortion and you want her to have an abortion and y'all can't do it because of the state you live in and you don't have the money, you don't have the resources to go get one? What are y'all going to do? What if you live in a state that makes it illegal for you to order the pills and medication to do it at home, which last I checked was on the table for Tennessee. So anyone who says, oh, no, that's not going to happen. Nope. Tennessee was already looking at it months ago. So what are you going to do when, because one thing I see men love to complain about online, men love complaining about child support.
All the time.
Love it. And it's not all men, of course, but a lot of men love talking about it. So if you are a man who worries about child support, worry about having to support a kid that you don't want to be there for, why are you celebrating this court case? There's nothing to celebrate about this case at all.
I mean, you can look at it from whatever standpoint you want. If you're a hardcore Christian, most of these hardcore Christians and these people and the women that are championing this stuff are pretty much women that don't nobody want to sleep with in anyway. But let's just be real about this. I just want to throw that out there. But they don't look at the long-term effects. They don't look at anything beyond, yes, you're going to bring this child into the world. And that's my biggest problem with this, is that they're looking at it from, oh, this is a life. and we're going to bring it into the world. But once it comes into this world, you do not give a flying fuck about it. Once this child is birthed,
that's right,
you have zero things to do with it. And you're not helping these people.
Right.
Oh, well, you could give it up for adoption. There are over 400,000 children that are not being adopted on a regular basis.
Yep.
Like, there are some hitting the age of 18, over 30,000 hitting the age of 18 that just get released out into the street on their own with no plans, no family, nobody to fall back on. And then what do? 9 times out of 10, they're in crime, prostitution, whatever means they can. I mean, and some of them turn out to be success stories, but I mean, how often do you hear about a foster kid growing up and becoming president of the United States, or, you know what I mean? Like, somebody coming out of foster care in a position of power. Like, how many of the people on the Senate or House of Representatives came from foster care? Not many. I mean, if any at all. So when you think about you're being pro-life, and I get that you want, I would never choose that for myself. But then again, I don't have a vagina, so I wouldn't be able to choose that anyway. But once you get to a point where you're like, you should have this baby, and God loves this child, and then you're sending them off to school to get shot in the face. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. Care about, don't be pro-life, be pro-lifetime. So if you're going to be pro-life, be fully committed to making sure that these babies that you are bringing into this world have financial assistance if they need it, have education about sex ed if they need it, have all the things that they need to be successful in life, because they are being forced into this world without a mother's choice to choose, or without a mother's right to choose to be brought into this world. So don't be pro-life, be pro-lifetime. Like, make it happen. Be there for these kids. Give them some money. Give some, give people motivation to know that they're going to be secure if they have this child. Because most of the time, people get abortion for a couple of different reasons. One, financial situations, which is probably the most common one. The household would only have one parent. And, you know, you'll have like a child support parent, but that's not in the picture. And, or, you know, they're children, having children. So most of these abortion people that are getting these abortions are just not ready for children. And to force them into these financial restraints and to force them into a life that they're not asking for, be there for them. If somebody shoot down welfare, don't shoot down different means of financial assistance for these kids. And that's my biggest problem with that, is that you're not pro-life. You have to be pro-lifetime. That's right. Or you shouldn't be pro-life at all.
And I don't think they're pro-life, because I think the points you make perfectly illustrate that these folks are not pro-life. They are anti-abortion.
That's it.
That's all it is. All they care about, because what's happened is over the past several decades, the messaging and the propaganda has been drilled into them. And so what's happened with a lot of these folks, and I know a lot of them personally, what's happened with them is their very identity, their core values have been tied to this nefarious shadow threat that they believe is killing babies everywhere. Even in the Supreme Court decision, I think Clarence Thomas references National Right to Life and their statistics. And I'm just like, isn't this supposed to be a credible document we take seriously? Because I don't take that seriously, but he thinks it's fine to put it in there. And so, like, these folks are simply anti-abortion in a time where we don't even have enough formula on the shelves for babies, in a time where, I think it was a couple weeks ago, like, they ended free lunch. Like, they're not supporting that anymore. Like, okay. Like, can't, like, not just can't feed them.
Won't feed them. Right. Won't feed them. There's that. Sorry.
Won't feed them.
Correction.
Yeah. No. No. It's both. Can't feed them. Won't feed them. But we have the time and energy for tax cuts. That's the top priority in this country. So, like one thing I just want to mention is, like, I think folks need to understand that, yes, this is bad news. This is absolutely terrible. This is heartbreaking, this overturning of Roe v. Wade. But it's going to get worse, okay? And I hate being the one to tell you that, but it's going to get worse because Clarence Thomas, in his opinion, says, and I'm going to read a little bit of this just so you understand, he disagrees with the concept of substantive due process jurisprudence, which is basically one of the legal concepts that upheld Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the two cases that basically gave us the grounding of abortion rights. So not only did they overturned those two cases, they overturned the legal concept that was holding them up. That legal concept also applies to other cases. So people need to understand that the Supreme Court has made it quite clear. Also with the case that they announced today, which is the one regarding the Christian coach who they tried to make it seem like, well, he just wanted to lead private prayer and they wouldn't let him do it as a state employee. And that was wrong and he should be able to do it. And then everyone else is like, no. He was doing it at the 50-yard line. He was compelling students to participate and that was wrong. The Supreme Court doesn't care about those facts. And so when it comes to like this situation, I think I I thought I lost you for a minute. I was looking at your mic. I was like, where'd he go?
No, you still got
he got quiet.
I'm listening.
Okay.
Educate me, my friend.
So the point I think they're not only going after those two cases. Now, they are playing a little sleight of hand because in the opinion of the court, they say this is only applying to these cases and only applying to abortion. The problem is that Justice Thomas writes his own opinion because he wants to make it clear that no, it should apply to other cases. So he says, and I'm going to read a little bit, the court today declines to disturb substantive due process jurisprudence generally or the doctrine's application in other specific contexts. So he says today we're not going after this legal concept that upheld those abortion cases. But then he says cases like Griswold versus Connecticut, which is the right of married persons to obtain contraceptives, Lawrence v. Texas, right to engage in private consensual sex acts, and Obergefell, I'm from the South, so I said it the best I could, versus Hodges, which is the right to same-sex marriage, he says those are not at issue. No, but keep listening. The court's abortion cases are unique, and no party has access to decide whether our entire 14th Amendment jurisprudence should be preserved or revised. Thus, I agree that nothing in the court's opinions should be understood to cast doubt on precedents that do not concern abortion. If you stop reading at that point, you will think he's saying, oh, we're not going to touch those other cases like getting contraception and right to engage a private consensual sex act and same-sex marriage. Those are okay, but there's more. He says in the next sentence, for that reason, in future cases, we should reconsider all of this court's substantive due process precedents, including Griswold, Lawrence, and Obergefell. Because any substantive due process decision is demonstrably erroneous, Ramos versus Louisiana, his opinion concurring in judgment, we have a duty to, quote, correct the error established in those precedents, Gambles versus United States. After overturning these demonstrably erroneous decisions, the question should remain whether other constitutional provisions guarantee the myriad rights that our substantive due process cases have generated. And he goes on to basically lay out, hey, you guys, so what he's basically saying for anyone,
overturn all the other
yes,
ones
yes, and here's what's bad for those of you, yes, And for those of you who may not, and I'm really glad you said 6-3 vote, because that's what it feels like. It feels like they're the ones who get a vote and we don't. So it's these 9 people who get a special vote, because it doesn't even feel like they made a legal decision as much as they made a vote that they then dressed up with legal right. argumentation. But for those who aren't familiar with legal stuff, I want you to understand what Clarence Thomas said. Clarence Thomas said, in this case, y'all didn't ask us about these other cases, but I just want to give y'all a heads up that you should ask us about these other cases. You should bring us other cases so we could tear those down too. Okay? So it is entirely legitimate that we get the same ruling, but for the rights of married persons to obtain contraception, to engage in private consensual sex acts as same-sex marriage, where all those could be state by state.
Right. Which is going to happen.
That is, yes, it is absolutely frightening. And anyone who tells you, no, this was located, and this is why, y'all, I read the case, the opinions myself. Because there's a lot of people out here who will tell you things that are not always legitimate. And if anyone tells you not only applies to the abortion, you can go for yourself and read the opinion. It is actually not that hard to get through and read. Okay, you can read it in pieces, but they are coming for more stuff. They are not going to stop. They got this. They're excited about it. And they're going to keep going. Your rights are not safe. And I would argue, I mean, if you're black, you already knew that. But but when it comes to contraception, your rights are not safe. When it comes to private consensual sex acts, not safe. And when it comes to same-sex marriage, not safe. Like I've already seen on Twitter, gay couples are already going through their wills, doing power of attorney, doing all the legal stuff, because they know that they actually are not safe. And anyone else who thinks that folks are safe, they are not. I wanted you to hear that directly from us, because there's going to be folks who tell you, oh, it only applies to this. No, it's kind of like when somebody's like, you know, like if you ask them a question, And it's like, hey, you know, I wanted to know if you were interested in hanging out with me. And they answer that one question. And then they say, well, you know, you could ask me about something else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like that. They're like, oh, you know, like, I'm going to leave the door open for you to ask me. Like, because I want you to ask me. Ask me. Ask me. Don't you want to ask me? And that's what Thomas is doing. Thomas is like, hey, guys, don't you want to bring these cases to me? And watch what happens. If they have not already got those cases lined up, they are getting those cases lined up, and they're going to come to the Supreme Court. It's going to happen just like this. And then Biden is going to pretend like he's not the president of the United States. And he's going to just wring his hands and say, oh, no, what do I do? If only I had power.
And this hurts me, too, man, because the gay marriage thing, my best friend, she's married to the woman of her dreams and she is happy.
That's right.
It would destroy me to see that right taken away, not only from them, their lovely, beautiful couple, but just from anyone that wants to get married to a person that they are deeply in love with. And it's stupid. It's such a stupid thing.
That's right.
Even be reconsidering, or at least asking somebody to bring that to us. Let me take a look at it. It's just stupid. I mean, it's starting to feel like, you know, Donald Trump is making good on his campaign promise. They're making America great again, or making America what it was before. Most of us have rights, including myself as being a man of color. They're making it harder to vote.
Yep.
For black people to vote. They're making it harder. Now women can't get abortion. I mean, where does it stop? Like, at what point in time does it stop? Does it not? Are we not going backwards? Because we've fallen off 50 years so far. So When do we go back to the 1800s?
And they're not done.
1900s or whatever. When do we go back to that time when America was quote unquote great? Our country was getting better. And we just fell down this rabbit hole now of Republican ridiculousness. And now our country is going to shit. And I hate to say it.
And
I love this country.
It is. And I think part of what's so jarring and concerning about all of this, even if you just zoom out and step back, is that different groups of people in this country have very starkly different views of what is better for the country and worse. And I'm not talking about just political differences that we have, okay? Because there are things that we could differ on politically that I think is understandable. The problem is that we are not only operating on different political views, but we're operating on different sets of facts.
Right.
And by that I mean there are the facts, and then there's the other stuff that other people are operating on. Fox News doesn't traffic in facts.
Not at all.
At all. In fact, they were found to only tell the truth like 11% of the time.
Fucking terrible.
So, and they're like the biggest like news outlet, the biggest. And so we have like these groups of people who are operating on completely different sets of facts. Because one thing I think is worth really thinking about is that in the pursuit of MAGA, people have forsaken freedom. Because we should have a society, and it used to be this way when I was younger, where you should be free to do the things you want to do, even if it's not something I like or would want to do myself. And what has happened is the Supreme Court has ceded over to the people who say, no. I don't want to get an abortion, and I don't think you should be able to get one either. See, and what folks are going to try to do is act like the two sides are equal. And that's a false equivalency. And all it does is favor the fascists. The truth is, these sides are not equal. One side says, hey, I think you should be able to get an abortion if you want one. I may not want one because I know plenty of people who are pro-choice and they don't support abortion.
Myself included.
They just want other people to. Right. But they want people to be able to get it if that's their choice. So you have folks who are like, hey, I think you should be able to do what you want to do, even if I don't agree with it. That's supposed to be freedom. In fact, in one part of the opinion, the justices who made this decision bring up the fact that if you like, they basically say something to the tune of, by this logic that's been presented to us, people can use this to justify doing things like illicit drugs or participating in prostitution. And I'm like, y'all just gave the game away. Why should you be trying to decide what other people do when it comes to drug use? Why should y'all be trying to decide what people do when it comes to prostitution? Why again? And this is where folks will say, well, I just don't think it's right. I don't care if you think it's right or not. It's not supposed to be about whether you think it's right or not. It's supposed to be about freedom for people, liberty and justice for all. And that's what that entire side has lost sight of. Because it's not supposed to be about whether you agree with what other people do in the privacy of their own homes or not. It's about whether their decisions cause you tangible harm. And I say tangible because a lot of folks are going to be like, oh, well, it hurts me to think about what's happening to the unborn.
No, it doesn't.
It hurts you because you were conditioned to falsely see the issue a certain way. Because these folks can't. Look, I'm going to wrap up my side with this. One of my favorite tweets that I saw today was a guy tweeting out a fetus. And he said, Do you really think, do you really see yourself when you see this fetus? Okay, he tweeted that out. And all these conservatives said, yes, I do. I see myself when I look at this fetus. And you should see yourself too. It was like five of them. They were just like, yes, I see myself in it. And I think we should protect them, all of that. And one guy was like, yes, I see myself in it. Why don't you? And the guy responded and said, this is an elephant fetus.
That's fantastic.
Folks, I know this might offend some people. That's the level of intelligence we're dealing with on the other side. I'm sorry. I know it might be offensive, but these are folks who cannot tell you how a fetus works. They cannot tell you the different developmental stages. And when they do, it's all slanted toward being anti-abortion instead of being pro-freedom, or as you said so well, pro-lifetime. Because once the baby's born, they do not care about women being forced or people being forced to have babies, which I can't imagine anything more like heartbreaking and devastating and torturous to be forced to have a baby. But also, they do not care at all about what happens next. And if your baby doesn't do well, despite the fact you were forced to have the baby, you know who they're going to blame?
You.
You.
Right. They're going to blame the parents or the parent.
They're going to blame the parents. They will never hold themselves accountable. And the only time that they will have to face accountability is when they're standing in hell for all the stuff they've done. Because I really hope these folks don't think that they're going to be able to participate in any sort of afterlife paradise acting like this. But they do think that. But they'll be in for a rude awakening when it's all said
and done. And I encourage people to pick up that book, Freakonomics. I honestly, it will tell you about what this decision is going to mean for our future. And I just got on Amazon and I bought this shirt. I'm plugging all this stuff, right? but I just got on Amazon
and I
ordered this, this little onesie that says, now that I'm safe, I'm pro-choice. But hey, look, I love this topic. Talking to you about this topic, man, you're so knowledgeable from a legal standpoint. I look at it from like a ridiculous standpoint because I think it's a ridiculous thing. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's helpful to get a little bit of knowledge from that side of it. So it's been real.
Oh, no problem, man. Absolutely. I just feel like real quick, I'll say, I just feel like a lot of people are not talking about it enough from that standpoint. And that's why I wanted to talk about it like that here, because I think people need to understand the lack of reasoning that the court demonstrated and how this really does damage the court. And the court, you know, like the dissenting justices said that they believe that this was not done for legal reasons. This was done for power and control reasons. And they believe that this is going to like irrevocably damage the standing of the court. And I think, and I don't think the justices who ruled to overturn Roe v. Wade really care. I think they're just going to try to get what they want. And so I encourage folks, if you're upset about this, you should be mad as hell. And if you are, please, please, please put your support, whether it's volunteer time, finances, whatever, put it toward organizations that have been doing this for a long time. Don't get up here. Please don't support brand new organizations. There are people who've been doing this for a long time. Find those organizations, support them, because there are abortion rights organizations that already have networks set up that can help women and people who can get pregnant get what they need and be able to do it in a way where those folks can do it safely and quietly. Because there's a lot of folks who are, there's this meme of like, hey, if you want to go camping, let me know and I'll take you camping, wink, wink. And I get... Yeah, and I get that people, I know people mean well, but if you or someone you know needs to go through that kind of procedure, do not go with someone who's never done it before. Get plugged into an organization that's been doing this for a long time. They know how to maneuver you quietly where you need to go to get what you need to get. They know how to make sure everybody in there is vetted and won't talk if there's any sort of law enforcement that gets involved. They know how they know how to find the people and vet the people who will protect you. Anyone who's never done this before, do not go to them when it comes to this, because law enforcement might show up at their door and then all of a sudden they're telling them about you. So please be safe out here. Men, get it together.
Please.
Because this is on us, whether you like it or not, and we need to do our part to fight back against this.
Hey, man,
thanks. It was a pleasure, man. I enjoyed talking to you.
Everybody be good humans and good night.
Yes. Be good humans. Good night, y'all.